Good afternoon or good evening if you are in the UK, and welcome. This is Romola D from Romola D Reports, and I'm here doing Newsbreak 126. And this is a picking up of the story of what the UK veterans have been speaking about lately on my channel, on News Panel 20 to start with, and on other shows about their travails working with Child Support Agency and the Child Maintenance Services and finding really no justice dealing with these agencies, and in fact, struggling to get their issues addressed. So we are here today with Craig Bowman, Clive Spencer, and Noel Wilcox. And I'm going to turn the floor over to them so they can introduce themselves properly and let everybody know who they are and what their background in the British Army is. So welcome, guys, and feel free, Craig, to take it away.
Okay. Evening, chaps. I'm Craig Bowman. I'm a United Kingdom British Armed Forces veteran. Served 16 years, actually left the army after 16 years service because of the Child Support Agency acting unlawfully against me. Since then, I've come across a lot of naughtiness, what they've been up to over the years. And, you know, we just keep finding more and more stories about their bad behaviour. So I'll hand it over to Noel, because Noel's, or Clive. Clive actually has experience with these people as well. But anyway, over to you guys.
Hi, everybody. My name's Clive Spencer, a.k.a. Uncle Fester. All right. I'm doing podcasts. We're looking at CMS. We're looking at suicide. We're looking at... There's a lot of things we're looking at today, especially with the government, you know? Cloak and dagger. We've got all that going on. And we've got a lot of things that we're shouting out for veterans, serving personnel. And it's getting to a stage where I think everybody is seeing what people are starting to wake up and seeing what the government's actually doing. And yeah, I'm actively shouting about it. I'm getting a bit frustrated. And we got somebody on here tonight, Noel. All right, who is another person, me and Craig, we talk to a lot of people who suffer. So Noel suffered. So you know, I'm going to hand you over to Noel. I'm ex-House of Cavalry as well. So, you know, some of us had to do it, didn't we? So I'm going to hand you over to Noel, and we're going to pick Noel tonight. You're going to pick away at him. Noel, introduce yourself, brother.
Hi, guys. My name is Noel Wilcox, and I have served 27 years in the reserves of Her Majesty's Armed Forces. I'm a non-commissioned officer. And I am infantry, so I'm not as fancy as these two. Cavalry, yeah. I'm the cannon fodder, for the better word. And yeah, we're all here today to discuss the injustices of the Child Maintenance Service and the court system that we have in this country, and really expose the corruption from top to bottom with what's going on. And really, I suppose the point that I really want to get out there is the way that fathers are portrayed through the media as deadbeats. And that the big topic of our discussion today is that they keep saying that the welfare of the child, in every single thing that they market, they keep saying that the welfare of the child is at the foremost of every single one of their decisions. That's what they keep saying. That's not us. That's what they keep saying.
Yeah.
The welfare of the child.
Does it actually play out? Has that been your experience?
The child support in the UK, we have a lot of statute law, and the statute law is passed in the House of Commons. And we've got the Child Support Act, which is 1991. And where are we going to go tonight? Section 2 is the welfare of children, the general principle. And what it states is, where in any case which falls to be dealt with under the Act, the Secretary of State or any child support officer is considering the exercise of any discretionary power conferred by this Act. And this is where it gets interesting. And this is where people need to understand why Noel's on you tonight, and Noel's got concerns. As a Noel's a doting father, he loves his child, and he wants his child to be safe and secure. And under Section 2, this is what he says now. Secretary of State, they have the power. He shall have regard to the welfare of any child likely to be affected by his decision. So the decisions they make, they've got to make sure, you know, the welfare of the child is the utmost. That is number one key. And potentially, Noel's raised concerns and they've ignored him. You know, we've got a lot of people committing suicide because they can't see their children. They're getting locked off from their children. And the welfare of the child is not always considered, unfortunately. The Child Support Act, and we're going to get Noel to share his experience and his concerns. And Noel, look, let's open this up, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Noel, what's your concerns with your child? What was the complaints you made?
Right, so in September 2017, the brown envelope came through the door.
Yeah.
Saying I had to pay an astronomical amount of money. I think it was like $6,000 a year.
Yeah.
And the first thing that I noted was the fact that they'd use my income of 15, 16.
Yeah.
So the claim was made in September 17. So we're only talking about a couple of years here. So you don't need to have a degree in mathematics or rocket science to work out that they've already gone back 2 years.
Yes.
So yeah. I'd written to them because at that time I didn't know what really to do. All my letters were just ignored. Yeah. All sent recorded delivery.
Child maintenance services, right?
Yeah, child maintenance services. So I wrote to them and I said, well, that assessment doesn't reflect my true income and I'm not earning that sort of money.
No, can I just jump in here a second? Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a little bit confusing for people because you're telling the story from me. If you can just give a brief outline of what's happened instead of going into depth of what's happened. Just give a brief outline of where what's gone on, then we can go into depth then.
Yeah, it was just that bit there that I just wanted to clarify because that bit there was quite important with the, you know, when ICE came back with their findings. And ICE is the independent case examiner. So I just wanted to just, you know, emphasize on that point. So the points are basically is that they cherry picked my income, which they're notorious for doing. They ignored welfare concerns regarding my daughter and very serious welfare concerns, I might add as well. Yeah. We're talking, it doesn't get any more serious than the welfare concerns.
The toxic trio was identified, wasn't it?
The toxic trio was identified in the house. So with the incident where we will come to, the toxic trio for all of your listeners is what social services, an independent report was done. That I think it was something like 9.3 times where the toxic trio has been identified in the house, which is drugs, mental health, and domestic violence in a house. 9.3 times will result in the death of that child. So the report had been done, which identified the toxic trio. So if you
That's
hear
really
us,
shocking actually. Yeah, that I suppose you'd have to stop and talk a little bit more about this. No, I mean, how old is your child? How long has she been in this house with these problems? And has there been any attempt on your part and any, you know, success, I suppose, in trying to get her out of there?
I've done everything I possibly can. I've spent $37,000 through Her Majesty's Court Services trying to get my daughter out of that household. And I haven't even been able to get contact. Now, just for the record, completely for the record here, so that all of your listeners know, I'm security vetted to a Commonwealth standard. I have no criminal convictions at all. I own my own business. I own my own property. And for the record, no welfare concerns were identified by CAFCAS when they did their initial reports regarding any contact that I could have with my daughter.
So you didn't get joint custody despite all this?
No, nothing. Contact went backwards.
You didn't get custody at all? Wow.
Nothing.
So she has full custody?
She has full custody. She said that I was a risk to the child. So she...
On what grounds?
No grounds, just on her word. There is no evidence. There is no evidence produced.
But the court kind of listened to her and acceded to her demands?
She said that because I've got more money than her, that I am perceived as a flight risk, that if I was to kidnap my own daughter and take her away, she would not have the money to be able to try and get the daughter back from me because I have got more money than her. And the judge agreed, and he granted a residency order, which would mean that if I ever took Eva away from that house, I would be immediately arrested by the police.
Oh, wow.
So straight away, we got a legal system in the UK, which is you're innocent until proven guilty beyond reasonable doubt. And this has been shown when Boris Johnson was challenged by Keir Starmer. And Keir Starmer challenged him about his money he spent on his number 10 Downing Street. And he done it in the House of Commons over the box. And Boris Johnson come back and he was high rated and he went, Keir Starmer, he said, you come in here. He said, you're a lawyer. You should know better. What was it, Craig? He said, you've got to give me...
You've got to substantiate
what you were saying. So he used this...
Back it up with evidence, basically.
Yeah. Back it up with evidence. I'm innocent until you prove me guilty beyond reasonable doubt. However, the way the justice system works in the CMS, it seems to be you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent. And the people like Norm don't get a chance to prove themselves innocent because 37,000 to go through a law system. And, right, here we go. The welfare concerns. Let's open the tin on this. Let's not mess about. Let's talk about the welfare concerns. We've already talked about drugs, mental health, domestic.
Right.
Come on in, Norm.
Right, so September... Last year, not September last year, 2019. Because I'd been refused contact, every single time that I was, because it's a human right in this country, the judge has to give you some form of contact, but he made it literally impossible for me to see my daughter. And all she kept doing was breaching every single court order. So there were 7 court orders. She breached every single one of them. I would then have to take 6 months to get her back into court. Then she would turn around again and say, well, she hasn't seen him, so it's got to go back to supervised contact. So she knew how to play the system. I didn't. And like I say, there were 7 court orders, and then each time you try and enforce that order, it's another £255. So in the end, I walked away because of the parental alienation that was going on with my daughter. She was being so badly emotionally abused, which had been identified by CAFCAS, by everybody who was involved in my daughter's life. They all said that the child was being emotionally abused by the mother. But it was yet, whenever I used to bring this up with social services, they used to say to me, all we are is the voice of the child. And I said, well, is it the voice of the child or is the mother talking? Which one is it? Yeah, because how can my daughter hate me when she doesn't even know me? You know, does that not send the alarm bells ringing, you know? So, like I say, I don't kind of want to go down that road.
Craig, what are you doing?
Something very odd is happening. Can you hear me?
Craig, what are you doing?
I'm here. I don't know what's going on here.
Craig, you've gone off camera and I've gone off camera as well. Oh, wait, I'm on camera, but something has happened at your end.
I'm here.
You're still here?
Well, this is
it looks like two windows have opened with your name on them.
Craig, are you sharing your screen? Are you playing with your screen?
No.
Yes, you are. You're sharing your screen because you took over control.
I couldn't have done because I was just sat here and everything went dead. Let me. I'll come back in. I'll drop out and I'll come back in.
Okay. So yeah, apologies for that, everybody who's watching this live. Yeah. So where was I? Yeah. So she had breached every single order. So in September 2019, because I was monitoring what was going on with my daughter, i.e. There, I think there's a problem with Craig's camera.
Yes. Boot him out.
Romolo, you're on mute.
Romolo, you're on mute.
How did that happen? Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
I can hear you now. That's it. We seem to be back to normal. So what I was doing was I don't know what's happened with Craig's again. It's all gone. Right, we've gone back now. Right. So in September 2019, because I was monitoring what was going on with my daughter at school and stuff like that, I applied for her medical records. And when I received her medical records, because my daughter wasn't getting to school, so when I eventually got those medical records, because I wanted to see whether or not she was ill, or she was suffering from some sort of illness or something like that. So because I have parental responsibility, I was able to get her medical records. And in there, I had found an internal email that had gone from social services to the doctor's surgery requesting Eva's medical records from social services. And what was contained in there was them stating that the mother and the boyfriend who live in the house had both been arrested for the suspicious death of the grandmother.
Wow.
The social services were involved now, and my daughter was put onto a child protection plan. But the thing that I want to illustrate here, right now, at no time did social services or anybody assess me. So my daughter was, whilst they were arrested and they were held in custody for a certain amount of time, they took my daughter, put her at a complete stranger's house, no idea who it was, still can't get those answers. And whilst the house was being searched by the police for evidence as to what exactly had gone on, you know, I don't know. I'm no wiser as to what has actually gone on. So there was a police investigation that had started. So the police had made a referral back to social services saying that they wanted my daughter Eva to go onto a child protection plan. There's also three other children that live in that house. For the record, my daughter's mother partner who lives in the house is a very high profile gangster. And he was involved in the kidnapping of the Queen's Park Rangers chairman back in 2007 in a very, very violent, it was a very violent incident, and it was very, very well publicised over here because it was a massive thing, because the Queen's Park Rangers chairman, which is a football club for your listeners who don't know, he was held at gunpoint around the boardroom table and forced to sign over his shares to another board director, and he was held at gunpoint. And my daughter's mother's partner, he was one of the gang that was involved. So I've continuously raised welfare concerns. I've been relentless, you know, saying, you know, is this man suitable to be in my daughter's life? Yeah, my daughter's been brought up to call him dad, which is a lie. And
what has been their response each time you approach them?
No interest. They have no interest.
But
it's an idyllic family. I keep getting told that there's no welfare concerns. I've been told the whole time, right up until this point in 2019, there are no welfare concerns. Even though I'm reading differently from social services. Now, the point that I want to make here is no one cares here in this country. Every single MP was told, even Boris Johnson, Theresa May was told, Boris Johnson was told, every single one of them was copied in into emails. Absolutely everybody, over 50 members of parliament had been copied into these emails. Evidence, this was all evidence-based. Yeah, it wasn't me with hearsay. We were attaching every single document that we had regarding the welfare of my daughter.
And this
went to everybody.
And you say you also spoke to Kafkas, right? Did Kafkas do the same kind of thing? Did they try to intervene? Did they try to make a difference here?
No, not really. They'd written a report that was completely biased against me. Basically saying to me, they said that I need to do a load of parenting courses, yeah, even though not a single member of Kafkas had seen me with my own daughter, because I hadn't even seen my daughter. So how they came to that analogy is completely beyond me. So Kafkas is written out. Sorry?
That's really interesting that Kafkas isn't supporting you in this matter, because earlier I think you had stated that Kafkas had also agreed that the child was in danger and needed child welfare services, needed child protection.
No, at no point did they do that. I mean, basically, without going into the nuts and the bolts of what had gone on, my daughter's mother's partner is a compulsive liar. He's completely compulsive, he's a Walter Mitty, and that's not just me being nasty, it's just a fact. He concocted this story that he'd inherited over £30 million, and you know, the whole story started falling apart. This is a whole family that is completely on benefits. Not one of them works, not one of them has any intention of working, and they are both able bodies, and the system absolutely loves these type of people.
Yep. Going back, so at this moment in time, you don't see you've never seen your child. You're paying CMS still got you under their claws.
Well, this was all kind of going on. So all of this information, so the CMS, basically, they came out with their assessment and I it was $6,500. I can't remember off the top of my head what it was, but it quickly went up to near on, I think, $10,000, was it, Craig? Was it in and around that amount? It went up very quickly to like $10,000 once they started adding all their arrears on top. Yeah. So the following year, so I was arguing and arguing and arguing with them, and you know, I was getting my MP to write to them, and eventually they started coming back to him. So at this point, I said, "Well, I need to appeal against this amount of money that I've been assessed." So it took about 2.5 years.
So you correct me if I'm wrong. You know, you've appealed against the arrears, the fictitious arrears. You've actually raised your concerns about the welfare of your child. All right. And you haven't got anywhere.
So I haven't got anywhere. But the important part here is, so when I went to the first tier tribunal, eventually, when it got into court. So that was pre-COVID. So that was, it might have been December before. So that would have been December pre-COVID. So COVID was in March. So it was at December
which 2019.
So I went to court, produced all the evidence regarding what had gone on in the house, all the child protection. All the child protection plans, the fact that Toxic Trio have been identified. But the key component here, and this is very important that your listeners understand what I'm saying here. There was a statement that that my daughter's mother's partner had made under police caution that he had a very serious drug habit, 2 to 3 times per day. Now, this is somebody who's on benefits. How do they afford cocaine 2 to 3 times per day? And he categorically stated on police interview that if he had more money, he would take more drugs. That's self-admission. And that was recorded.
We've got the report there as well.
You've got the recording.
So we've got the report.
Romola, the biggest thing you know is, don't forget now, this probably is not the only case in the UK. All right.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are there similar cases that you know of?
Thousands. All right. So don't forget now, a lot of people, when they've got mental health issues, everybody's got mental health issues, life stresses. When we're avoiding the emotions, we use drugs and alcohol. And that's the key number two. Money, relationships, change, stresses of life. We avoid our emotions by using drugs and alcohol. So this man and the ex as well, I can guarantee his ex is using drugs as well. I can guarantee it. That's the circle it's in. All right. But here we go. Now, if you imagine when people are giving money for their children, how many of them children are actually receiving the money and the money's not being used on drugs, alcohol, being drugged to feed a habit, because that's what it is. We'd actually, and this is the biggest concern I've got as well, is potentially Noel is affected. Noel's affected because you've got a child there. And Noel, how has it affected your mental health, man?
Well, I mean, on top of the fact that I'm out of my mind with absolute worry and anxiety regarding my daughter, am I going to get a phone call every single day, you know, to tell me that my daughter's dead in that house because she's in a house full of nutters? They are nutters. Whatever way the family courts, whatever way social services try their best to try and tell me that this is the Waltons type environment, it's a dysfunctional family. There is just no two ways about it. I know a lot of people with children. I know a lot of nice people. And I don't know anyone whose children are on child protection plans. A child protection plan is very, very serious because that is social services intervention in your life every single day. So surely if social services are involved in your life, there's a problem. They're not involved in your life because everything's hunky-dory and there's no welfare concerns. So the big, big thing here for me, which I couldn't get my head around, is the fact that I had the child maintenance service who were hounding me. And I mean absolutely hounding me. They were going to take me to Norwich Magistrates Court, which is about 119 miles from where I live, to get a liability order against me. Even though I have produced all the evidence stating that there is major welfare concerns in this house, all evidence backed, all the social services reports, all the police reports, everything was there. I was sending it. Do you know what they kept coming back to me and saying? We are only concerned with the maintenance and the liability of Section 2 of the Child Support Act.
Section 2 is all about the welfare. And if you look at Section 1 of the Children's Act 1989, that tells you all of the welfare points. And that's actually in their legislation that they follow.
But Craig, straight away, Section 2 Child Support Act, we've already said
welfare of the child.
It's welfare of the child.
And exactly.
You've got somebody raising concerns about welfare of child. And I'll tell you now, child protection, for social services to step in and do a child protection plan, it's a red flag. We call it red flagging. And potentially, if you've got a parent there who wants the child, take them out of the toxic environment. Because if I've done a risk assessment, that's a high-level risk. You're red flagging on a risk there.
Absolutely.
So you would put mitigation. To be honest with you, if I have to do a risk assessment, straight away, my biggest hazards or risks there would be more money going into that house, more drugs, more alcohol, more domestic violence.
It's right. clear to everybody hearing the story, just as you said earlier, yeah. Noel. You know, once we hear what the situation is, I think all of us can see the problem here. So one really has to look closely at how and what, how they've corresponded with you, how child maintenance services gets back to you, who gets back to you, who is there one person who is responsible? You say you've provided all the evidence. Did you also write letters, you know, sort of from the heart, telling them, look at the situation, yeah. look at what's going on?
So to answer your question there, Romola, so I went to the first tier tribunal and I actually believed that I would get somewhere once a judge had sat down and listened to the facts and me producing the facts. It's not listening to the facts, producing the facts. So I produced all the child protection plans. I also produced the document that stated in the transcript of his interview under police caution, you know, and that's very important. That's an admission of guilt under police caution. The judge had absolutely no interest in what I said.
No interest in what you said.
No interest.
He had no interest in the fact that your child was under child protection.
And I'm going to say his name as well. I'm going to say his name live on air. It's Judge Brewster. That's his name. Yeah. He is an embarrassment and a disgrace to the Crown. He has sworn some form of oath to the Crown, I have absolutely no idea. But this man refused to listen. Any human would have listened to what I had produced. That my daughter was living in an absolute hellhole. There was major welfare concerns, and that her life had been completely and totally destroyed.
But Noel, correct me if I'm wrong. Did the judge not say he weren't in his jurisdiction?
No, that was the next tribunal.
Oh, right. Yeah, go on to the next one.
No, yeah, so that was the upper tier tribunal. So he turned around and said, even though Mr. Wilcox, I mean, Romola, in all of our previous interviews that we've done, we've produced all these documents. So Clive has actually screen shared what the judge has said, what point of law it was, et cetera, et cetera. And the judge had even admitted, even though Mr. Wilcox has very serious welfare concerns, this does not alter the decision of this court that he is liable for the child maintenance. But I kept saying, but I don't owe this money because they have not given me a mandatory reconsideration. So they have to, by law, if your income has changed by more than 25%, they are to give you a mandatory reconsideration. So I kept saying, but I'm not earning this money. You keep saying that I'm earning it. No, you've got to pay it. You've got to pay it. You've got to pay it. So they tried to rob my bank account twice to rob this money. Yeah, which is theft. It's theft. I've never owed this money. And they tried to rob my bank account twice.
So this is... Gosh, there's so much going on over here, but it sounds like they tried to separate the two issues and they said this is a separate issue, you've got to pay this money, whereas they didn't listen to what you had to say, which is, you know, they hadn't done a reconsideration of the income.
You know what the judge turned around to me and said? Yeah, and this is where I think that somebody like that should be stripped straight away. He turned around and said, no court or anybody can tell somebody how to spend that money. So I said, so in hindsight now, what you're telling me is that you are completely condoning a criminal offence. A man who works under the justice system is now telling me that he is going to facilitate a criminal offence by forcing me to pay this money.
What did he say to that?
He just couldn't answer me. He couldn't answer me. And then he wriggled out of it in his statement by saying that I became a bully. How can I bully a judge? How can I bully a judge? You know, whenever you say to them...
I guess you can't speak in court then. Is that what he was trying to say?
That's what he's saying, because I didn't like what he was saying and he knew that I knew that I was talking about. All my evidence was there, because I've learned a lot from Craig and I've learned a lot from Clive, yeah, in terms of the law and what is permittable and what isn't permittable, I knew exactly what I was talking about, and he didn't like it. He did not like what I had to say. And, you know, he felt threatened by me, not in a way where, you know, I was violent towards him or anything. I'm in a court. You know, I'm not that stupid. I mean, he can send me to prison. So I'm not going to throw away my military career over, you know, some judge. That's just not going to happen. So he made his final judgment. So he said that's going to go back to the Child Maintenance Service. I didn't hear from the Child Maintenance Service. So what I did is I appealed against that decision to the upper tier tribunal. I thought, well, maybe I might get some form of justice there. So they refused me a hearing, which is very, very important. So, Craig, what is that? That's a violation of my human rights, isn't it?
Article 6 of the Human Rights Act is also, more importantly, a breach of Article 29 of the Magna Carta. You guys use Magna Carta in America, do you?
So, oh, no, I don't think we use the Magna Carta in the US. But
you do. The US do. There's many states that actually use the Magna Carta. So, the full version of Magna Carta. Oh, yeah, Greg, absolutely.
Greg, we'll go back to Magna Carta later.
Let's go. That's for another day.
Okay, yes.
For another day.
But in any case, it's a violation of your human rights under basic.
Yeah. So I said that I wanted to have a trial. Okay. I said that I wanted to have a trial, and also I was appealing against the fact that in the court order, it said that the Child Maintenance Service were to attend court, and also the mother was to attend court. Neither turned up. So at that point, Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, the case should have been thrown out.
Yeah, absolutely.
The case still went ahead.
Should be adjourned.
The judge still went ahead, even though the accusers didn't even turn up at court. Because they knew that they had such a weak case. So the Child Maintenance Service, who in the court order had been subpoenaed to go to court, it categorically stated that Department of Work and Pensions are to attend court. They didn't attend court, neither did the mother. So at that point, the case should have been thrown out by the judge. No, he still continued. Whatever way, and this is the point I'm making, when you go to court, you are going to pay that money regardless. Totally and completely regardless, even against their own rules, even against their own laws, you are going to pay that money that you have been, you know, it's like something gets thrown into the tombola. A load of figures just get thrown into the tombola, and whatever they pull out is what you're going to pay. If you don't pay, they'll take your house from you. They'll take your cars. They'll take everything, every single thing that you've got.
But don't
so when they were going for the liability order in Norwich, I mean, my anxiety was through the roof. You know, my PTSD was through the absolute roof, because these people, once they get that liability order, your life is finished.
You're in the system.
So you've got to go for your house.
Yeah.
Once you get that, the thing is, these liability order hearings, they put you into a magistrate's court. They actually hire the courtroom out for the day. And it's like a sausage making factory. You know, you've got loads of guys there who've got the evidence that they don't owe the money, but the judges, they cannot challenge the CMS.
That's what I was going to ask, actually. I mean, do you think that the judges and the court system are actually protecting the CMS or sort of acting subservient to the CMS?
When they go for liability order, the CMS hire the courtroom off the day, so it's their own private hearing. And I think the judges are potentially their judges. But what happens is Section 33, Subsection 4 of the Child Support Act, that stops the judges from actually looking at the evidence. So you know, you get to the court.
That's in the magistrate's court, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also in the tribunal as well. But so when you've got guys turning up there with all the evidence supporting that they don't know the money, the judge is like, don't care, not interested, can't look at it. And that's it, the liability order is granted. So the judges are in their own course.
Yeah, is the tribunal the same as the family court, or is it a little bit different because you are veterans?
No, completely different.
Oh, okay, it is completely different. So it's not the family court system at all, but it's still connected.
It's still connected, but it's Because you
connected
know,
with CMS and CSA.
Yeah. Because if you go in the tribe, I had this. You know, I had evidence that I didn't owe arrears, and I went there and I was challenging the arrears in the first year tribunal, and they said, we don't have the jurisdiction to look at this. So it's the same thing, section 33, subsection 4.
But this is where we're getting to now. So I'm more interested now where we are today with the letter you received that Ramona has got.
Yes. Because yes. Let's move on to the next.
I want people to know that.
Can we just just before we get there?
Yeah.
If we just go to the next bit very, very quickly, yeah. Just before we get there, because that will lead into that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I went to the upper tier tribunal. They said we've reviewed all the evidence. You still have to pay that amount of money. Yeah. Even though you've raised these welfare concerns, I then apparently have to go to a criminal court and get a judge to agree in a criminal court that money would be used, basically not in the best interest of my daughter. I would have to get a criminal court judge. She said in her summing up that it is outside of the remit of this court, the upper tier tribunals. It's outside of the remit of this court. So basically what they're saying to you is once you've been assessed, that's the end of it. But they all, throughout all of this, Ramola, that none of them wanted to go near the fact that I had been refused a mandatory reconsideration and that I had been assessed on the wrong touch here.
But this is also not just that, all right? Look, there's welfare concerns. Under welfare of the children, under Section 2 of the Act, all right, which is law, the Secretary of State has got a responsibility to that child, the welfare of that child, and they've got to make sure...
Can I just jump in there, Clive? Sorry, mate. See this here? Ramona, I was telling you to look at... See, that's the Child Support Handbook.
Look it up, actually, as we're speaking.
Yeah, okay, Child Support Handbook. So in the back of the Child Support Handbook, you've got statutes, okay? You see that? Statutes. Okay? And down there, it's got the Children Act, 1989. Right? So this is the statutes that they actually use. So the Children Act, look at Section 1 of the Children Act, 1989. That is the welfare of the child.
Yeah.
So it's not just about the welfare of the child. That's incorporated in Section 2 of the Child Support Act, 91. But, right, so it's not just about financial support; it's about everything, mental well-being, and all you know, all Craig, that.
CMS was set up. There's a reason CMS was set up, and the CSA was for the welfare of the children. All right, mm-hmm. It was about actually making sure there was enough money to actually look after and bring the child up when the non-residential father or mother left the house. So it was to ensure the child.
Child Support Agency wasn't about that. Child Support Agency was set up back in 90 because they were wanting to pump money back. It was lots of single parents on benefits, and they wanted to put money back into the Treasury because it was taking a lot of taxpayers' money.
But they used it on that model, all right? So that's the model they used, all right? That's what the law is about, protection of the children, all right? The welfare of the children. And what we got here, we got Noel. And this is the saddest thing about it. He's got concerns for the welfare of his child. Ramola's left us. All right.
Oh, do you see the Children's Act? I'm trying to share the screen.
Yeah, the Children Act, 1989, Section 1.
Yeah. Section 1, welfare of the child. Do you see that? I'm just trying to...
No, I can't see. Can you
see? It's very difficult to see. But that is Section 1 of the Children's Act, 1989.
We're going away from where we are today. All right, we're going away from this. So, right, Noel. So,
yeah.
You come out of there. What did you do? You complained twice again. And tell
right, so I started a complaint with ICE.
Who had ICE?
ICE is the independent case examiner, because we were just going round and round and round in circles.
Yeah.
With the Child Maintenance Service, they just kept saying the same thing, and quite frankly as well, which, you know, we'll briefly touch on. I started saying to Craig, this is very suspicious, the way that they're writing, the way that they're actually writing. I said, this is very, very suspicious. These letters, it's like they're written by the village idiot. The grammar's shocking. The spelling's shocking. The use of the English language is shocking. You know, I, to be honest with you, I got to a point where I'm like, do you know what? I can't even read these letters because it's actually embarrassing. You know, bearing in mind that I'm a man who served my country, I'm a man who has sworn an oath of allegiance to this country, and I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, was this the dream? Was this the reason why I've gone on operations so that I can have the village idiot writing these letters back to me that, quite frankly, just don't make any sense? The punctuation shocking, and
forcing you to pay money that you don't owe.
Sorry?
Forcing you to pay money that you didn't earn.
Yeah, so he's forcing me to pay money that I don't earn.
Protecting them, where they're protecting them, giving them their freedoms, while they're forcing you to pay money that you didn't earn.
Yeah, but so you wrote to ICE, you raised your case with ICE, you raised your concerns about the welfare of your child, your case, and everything. So what happened?
Right, so ICE took over 2 years to pick up my case. And I've got to be honest with you, I actually found them quite sort of helpful. You know, they phoned me quite a few times and they just sort of said, look, I found them professional. That's what I found. You know, they phoned me up and they said, look, just to confirm, these are your concerns, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can see that the CMS has gone very quiet on you, because all of a sudden they've gone very, very quiet now, Romola, because somebody is dead in that house. A vulnerable adult, whatever way you want to look at it, is dead in that house. And it turned out that she'd been beaten up in that house. The grandmother, she'd been beaten up in the house. She'd gone to her doctor. She said to her doctor that I'm being beaten up. There's referrals that have gone from the doctor to social services. They've done nothing. Not a thing about it.
Wow.
Absolutely nobody has done nothing. Right, so they use something called MASH here, which is a multi-agency system where all agencies, all government agencies can access this system. So if the Child Maintenance Service had even bothered to put on the system, this father is raising very serious concerns with what's going on in that house. Basically, what it was, she wasn't getting my daughter to school. She was not getting my daughter to school. My daughter had something like 50% attendance at school, number of lates. Just like I say, my daughter's life has been destroyed, and I have to accept that. She's been denied an education. She's just been denied so many things. You know, she could have so many nice things in her life, but she's been denied all these things. So because there was a vulnerable adult that was dead in the house, her grandmother, they had no way out of it now. The CMS, because we had told them numerous times. And if you want to roll the dice and you really want to thrash this out, we'll thrash it out, because we have probably sent, I would have said, in excess of 50 emails and copied everyone in. This is the more heartbreaking thing. We had copied everybody in, but guess what? The usual, you just get ignored. Just ignored. All the time. And now there's a vulnerable adult that is dead in that house who had been poisoned with tramadol and morphine.
So now...
all because they wanted her money.
Yeah.
All because they wanted the grandmother's money.
So straight away, that's to support the addiction. But then straight away, what has I said to you since they've done the investigation?
Right, so ICE have done their investigation. They sent a long report. It was a load of waffle, which I expected. A lot of it was just complete waffle. But they have backed me up in what I'm saying. Firstly, I was denied, what do they call it now? A subject access request. They call it something different now.
Yeah, RAR,
Right, so they call it an RAR now. So because I requested all of my data files with the information that they hold on me to our maintenance service, they refused to give me my data, all the data, because of the amount of emails and the amount of reports that I had sent to them regarding what was going on in that house. And every single word that I said, word for word, all came true. And I can't bear that I'm right because a vulnerable adult is now dead.
Yeah.
So I never wanted to be right about what I'm saying, Romola. I never, ever wanted to be right, but I was right. Drugs were being used, domestic violence, alcohol, addictions, all sorts that were going on in that house.
Let's look at it now at this point of view. All right? And this is horrible to look at it from this point of view because somebody's died. Your daughter's still alive. However, the welfare of your daughter is still a big concern. And this is what gets me. Noel, I'm going to share this letter that I've been given. Can you see if you can share that letter, Rome?
I'll give it a shot. I don't know what the share screen is doing, really, but I'll give it a shot.
Just one thing. Had you know, the CMS acted upon the information, the concerns that Noel had been telling them, then maybe the grandmother may still be here today.
Definitely. That's what I'm just trying to say, Craig.
And what I'm going to say, send here, what I've sent you there, Romola, is an article which was in the British newspapers just a few days ago, and it is of the coroner has actually pointed a finger at the Child Maintenance Service because they failed to take into consideration that the ex-partner was violent, and they were warned about this, and they should have taken specific action against this. You know, they shouldn't have opened the case because the woman was under risk.
What was this? She was murdered. Another case.
It is another case, but it goes to show you that they are ignoring concerns. Yes, welfare concerns.
We know that, and this is what we're saying about Knowles. They are ignoring, and they continue to ignore the concerns with Ian Briggs. You know, the evidence he's got. We've got evidence backing up to the ill, and now we've got Noel, and Noel has raised his concerns for the welfare of his child, and Noel received a letter, and this is a thing. There's a letter we've got that Noel received, and actually, Noel, I'm a little bit annoyed because the letter they've sent you, they've admitted that you were right, they were wrong. The investigation they've done, they pointed at CMS, customer failures. They apologised for customer failures, delays in their response to your concerns, shortcomings in handling your complaints, and a failure to provide you information, freedom of information. But what they did, and what's even more of an insult, is they still haven't fulfilled, or in my eyes, looking at that letter, they still haven't acted within the law, because the Child Support Act 1991 and the other act that Craig says about the legislation, all right, which is law, welfare of the child is still ongoing. There's still a risk to a child. And for them to offer you a consolidatory payment of £75 because of their failings, it's not the money you want. It's actually the protection for your child. The only reason you've actually said, no, I'm not paying that, is because you were concerned that money be used on drugs, alcohol, which could lead to something happening to your child.
Do you know what? It's a very interesting point that you make there, Clive. And just one thing as well that you just missed out of that as well was also that they admitted in that letter that I had never been given a mandatory reconsideration. So for the record, the money that they assessed me on, that they hounded me for, never existed in the first place.
Never existed.
And it never existed.
They've held their hands up in that letter and they've actually said, oh, we had fault, but take £75. What? I'm sorry to swear, but what? Hang on. That child is still at risk.
Also, what also is a massive, massive concern here is the fact that my daughter still lives in that house.
Yeah.
There's, to this day, nobody has ever done an assessment on me, on the father. Somebody who served his country. I'm a business owner. I own my own property. I could give my daughter so much. I even turned around to the Child Maintenance Service and Social Services, and I said, make my daughter a ward of court, which means a financial ward of court, which means, because I was that out of my mind, quite clearly, I'd sent over 50 emails saying what was going on in that house. And I said, make my daughter a financial ward of court, which is where the mother, to get money, has to go and sign for that money, i.e. with a receipt.
And I'm gonna, look, I'm going to share you. Anybody watching this now thinking, oh, he just want to get out of paying for his daughter. You want to wake up. Because this, he's actually just said, during this, £37,000 has been paid to the courts to actually get his protection for his daughter. Because he's concerned. He wants to take his daughter. He wants his daughter. £37,000. And it's not because I know some people will be looking in here going, oh, he just doesn't want to pay for his daughter and he's a deadbeat. Let me tell you now, £37,000 fighting for court costs to get hold of his daughter and protect his daughter. What would you do if your daughter, the story you hear tonight, why
the sad thing about this case in particular is for my own mental health, for my family's own mental health, I've had to walk away.
Yeah, man. No, I understand that 100%.
I can't do any more. I physically, for my own mental health, which has broken me, I've had to walk away from this case because the system is refusing to allow me to see my daughter. I keep saying in numerous emails, I was saying to social services, you've put my daughter back into a house where these people have not been cleared of murder.
But I'm going to tell you something now. Your mind talk is saying you walked away. You haven't walked away at all, mate. Because you're still going. And I'll tell you now, in your mind, I know the truth is you're still fighting. You haven't walked away. But what you were doing now, you were dreading. You're already thinking the worst in there of the phone call's going to come. I was right about a death. So now that's enforcing your mind talk now, but that's enforcing that. And you say you walk. That's you just trying to. Oh, I'm walking away. Well, I'm all sorry. Roma, I'm awful sorry to say this. It's bollocks. All right, because I'm telling you now. You suffer even more today. Because now what you tell yourself is...
he's emotionally attached, obviously, so he's not going to lose those emotional ties with his daughter.
No, but definitely not.
Wanting to care about her.
You know, the sad... The kind of... The ironic thing here as well is that I'd emailed, written, you know, God knows how many complaints... It's just endless, the amount of complaints, because you are dealing with incompetent people who fall asleep in child protection conferences. They're, you know, all slouched in the chair, you know, they fall asleep in the chair. The chairperson, you know, she spoke to me in the most disgusting manner. You know, which was supported, you know, we'll do another podcast on this, you know, how fathers are actually spoken to in this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, the disgusting contempt of the way that you're spoken to. You're bullied constantly. You know, if you say anything against what they're saying, they say you're racist straight away. The first thing that they'll say
is,
oh, racist. They chuck that up. straight away.
Why
like
racist?
That.
Why did they throw that in, you know?
Because my daughter's mother's partner is Afro-Caribbean.
Oh, I see. So any kind of objection to what he's doing in the house, etc., to the drug use, etc., is simply miscast, mislabeled as racist rather than taken
because,
for what it is?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he is a different race than you? Wow.
He's a different race to me. He's a different race to what I am.
So
straight away, that is flagged up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm perceived as a racist. I'm like, what have I said that is racist? What I'm doing is I'm challenging you on the decisions that you've made. And I also stated on record, I want you to guarantee my daughter's safety, considering you have placed my daughter back in a house where these people have not been cleared of murder. They said, we can't guarantee any child safety. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I can guarantee my daughter's safety. Me, Noel Wilcox, can guarantee my daughter's safety. What I can't guarantee is that the brick wall won't collapse on her. I can't guarantee that a helicopter won't fall out of the sky onto my daughter.
Noel, what I want you to do, I want you to ask for the risk assessment for the child. Because they should have done a risk assessment for that child, putting that child back into that environment. And I can guarantee you now, that risk assessment, if it's high level, we need to start chasing that now. Because to get a care plan for a child, protection plan, we need to look at the risk plan they've got in place, mate, and have a look what control measures they got, mitigating. Because if there's violence in there, drug use, how old's your child now?
She's 10.
She's getting to an age now, all right? Don't take this the wrong way. Children now are getting to an age 9, 10 onwards. Mate, that's a time of... That's where children can change dramatically. That's where
she's a preteen, yeah.
Preteen.
She's heading
that's
into
where
the teenage years, yeah.
It's going to... Drugs, everything, mate, is... That now is a period of time where she is a high risk now as well. And if she's in a high risk environment, that's just ready to bubble. That's ready to go. All right.
I'm sorry
to tell you that.
I know. And do you know what? The sad thing about all of this, even though all of this has happened to me and the system has treated me the way that the system has treated me, I'm still continuing to serve my country. I was called out throughout COVID. You know, I still have that element in me, even though the system in this country has treated a member of the armed forces. And I'm not saying that we should be treated any differently, but what we should be is treat them with a bit of goddamn respect.
Did you,
because we deserve that.
Did you stand for elections?
Right. That's my next point. Because I feel so strongly about what's going on and what I've seen, what we've uncovered in terms of the level of corruption in this country, and I've said it, and I've said it so many times, we are more corrupt than any South American country. We're just a lot better at hiding it here in the UK.
Yeah, we are.
Because we hide behind things like political correctness. We hide behind racism. We hide behind all of these labels that we put out there. But what we are is the most money-grabbing, disgusting country in the world. Every time a bill comes through your door, whether it's council tax, whatever, if you do not pay all there in red, this is what's going to happen to you. And the whole of the child maintenance system is built on fear.
Well,
as soon as that brown envelope comes through the door.
Yeah, but what it is...
So many men will just take the easy option because they know what's going to come their way.
But what you've got to understand is, in life today, there's mental health is a mind warfare. Nobody gets taught mental health in school. Nobody gets taught everybody's got mental health. Everybody suffers depression, moods. today, if you feel down, you go to the doctors, you say, oh, I've got lots of interest, I don't feel right, he's going to put you on drugs. He's automatically going to give you drugs for depression. So what are you doing? This is a multi-billion pound market where they actually give them depression tablets.
They want people to come and ask them for drugs.
And so they're not going to tell people about how to manage your mental health. And they're not going to, and do you know the other thing is as well? What's the one thing we all need in life? Is it, we all need it. Years ago, we could go hunt for our food. We could go to the stream, drink the water, all right? We didn't need money to feed ourselves. With the houses we've got today, money is a dirty word. People don't learn about money anymore. Money's a dirty word. Some people don't like talking about money. And we don't get taught it in school. There's two things the government work on. Mind and debt. They love it. And they work on them all the time. And they create division. So we've got a lot of people out there today who've got a lot of mess. Did you see the march? Did you see the march on the weekend, Romola?
I did. I saw the video. It was incredible.
Massive march.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge.
I heard it went on for, 10 miles or something?
Exactly. And it come out there because so many people have had enough. And this is what we need to do. Because the system at this moment in time,
the system is broken. It seems like everybody can see it from every different angle, you know?
And they're creating division between groups. They use racism. I say to people, racism? What do you mean? We're all souls.
It's an excuse. It's complete contrivance.
We all bleed. We all hurt. We all cry. We all do the same things. It's a division by the power. And the power use it. That's it.
Shocking.
There's only one race. And that's the human race.
That's right.
Yeah. From a biological standpoint, that's it exactly.
To me, there is only one race.
One race. And that's human.
And that is the human race.
Yeah.
And they are causing all of this divide. They pump whatever ball that they want to pump out there, deadbeat fathers, this, that, and the other. So the public have this perception that when the child support agency get in touch with a man and they come up with a random figure and he challenges it, he doesn't want to pay for his kids because he's deadbeat. Exactly like what Clive was saying. And it couldn't be further from the truth. It could not be further. I've tried everything to pay for my daughter, but what I'm not going to do is facilitate a criminal offence.
You know, I wanted to ask you, would you list out for everyone the number of agencies and services and institutions you have now dealt with that have refused to listen, that did not take into account the evidence, and that are sort of stonewalling and brickwalling over here? You know, refusing to give you an avenue to move forward and refusing to give your child the protection that she clearly needs. Would you be able to name the agencies? Who are the agencies that are most to blame here?
Child Protection Services, Buckinghamshire Child Protection Services.
Okay. Child Protection Services. CAF.
Yeah, so it was formerly Social Services, which they closed out, which they stopped. They stopped calling it Social Services after the Baby P incident. So the Baby P incident over here was very similar to what happened to Gabriel Fernandez. They kind of mirrored each other. Yeah, the Gabriel Fernandez case that was on Netflix. Very similar thing happened here with Baby P. Then they changed it to Child Protection Services. Yet again, no accountability for the fact that they let a baby literally tortured. That's what happened. But yet again, the father was yet again banging on, bleating on to everyone. He went to the police, he went to the court, he went everyone, and everyone stopped him, told him, no, there's no issues there, when in fact his baby was actually being tortured by the mother and the father.
So the police are involved too. I mean, that's what we need to establish over here. You know, is it the police who are also negligent?
Yeah.
You know? Right. So you go to the police. You go to the police with your concerns. They will tell you that it's a civil matter. Yeah. Everything now is a civil matter to the police.
Even though you've got evidence of fraud and misconduct, it's a civil matter. They're not interested. Yeah.
Everything is a civil matter, so they don't get involved because they can only engage with criminal matters.
But if the Child Maintenance Service, if you say something that the Child Maintenance Service don't like, and the Child Maintenance Service get called the police will soon be at your door.
It's not
a civil matter then.
Sorry, Craig?
I've had the police at my door many times because I've sent emails to the CSA, and they didn't like the content of the emails that I sent them. So I've had the police round to my house. Even though it wasn't really anything.
They didn't like the content of your emails.
No.
Wow.
Ramola, the biggest thing is, and the people he's reached out to, let's just say, these child support acts, the child protection acts, it's the duty of the actual Secretary of State to enforce these, all right? The Secretary of State is like the key employer.
Okay, because that's the next step. You see, I wanted to find out who are the institutions here who are most to blame, and then look at who's responsible, you know, for the proper action of all of these.
But it's the Secretary of State, and if you look at the Act, all right, the Secretary of State is the highest employer. They're all employees. Now you've got a private organisation, which is a CMS. It's called a CM. It's the Child Maintenance Group. That's Serco. That's a private organisation. So they're interested in making money for the Treasury. So they made 38 million last year, profit 40 million. So straight away, what you've got to understand is the residing parent and the actual non-residing parent, they're clients. So they are clients now to the actual Serco, to Child Maintenance Services, or DWP. But the Secretary of State have still got a duty of care because the Act, he's in charge of this Act. And negligence. He's negligent, especially in this case, because he's got a duty of care to the child. However, he's not paying that duty of care. And he's got a moral duty. He's got a financial duty. And he's actually got a duty, a legal duty.
Now, has Noel contacted the Secretary of State?
Yeah,
many times. But bear in mind, the Secretary of State is a public servant. Yes. The public pay her salary and her expenses.
For these people just to continuously ignore you. So, like you were saying, Ramola, Child Protection Services, the police, Child Maintenance Service, Craig, you can probably rattle off at least 10 government bodies that we've contacted.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, firstly, we've got the CMS, who are Child Maintenance Service. Then you've got the Tribunal Service.
So this is the other thing. Now, the Tribunal Service is connected to the Army, to the military?
No, the Tribunal is connected to the courts.
It's connected to the courts. It doesn't have anything to do with the Army or the military, then.
No. Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunal Services.
Okay.
So we've got that. And to be honest, I'm very surprised that ICE actually supported Noel, because usually ICE is in bed with the CMS, CSA. You know, they usually give the CSA a foot massage or something like that.
In this letter, it looks like what ICE has done is they've given him £75 and then sent him right back to CMS, right?
Yeah.
They kind of washed their hands.
The severity of Noel's case, the fact is that, you know, there was a vulnerable adult killed in that household or died of suspicious circumstances in that household after Noel had been complaining about very serious welfare concerns.
But
I'm not surprised that then
you're missing the fact. Everybody's missing the fact. The Secretary of State is responsible. Secretary of State is employing CMS, employs all these organisations. The government employs all these organisations to actually manage the systems. The main people who enforce this supposed to enforce it is the Health and Safety Executive. Because this is because don't forget, and in the UK, anybody who works has got a duty of care. And the Health and Safety Work Act 1974, Section 2 is the Employers Act. You've got, it covers employers, employees, and self-employed. All right? And you've got a duty to ensure the health and safety and welfare of other people. As an employee, I've got a duty to ensure my omissions and acts don't affect the safety of others. As an employer, you've got a duty of care to ensure that the omissions and acts, and even more, there's a lot more there.
But it sounds like Noel has actually approached the Secretary of State, right?
And yes,
there has
But this is where I'm going. For Gavin Briggs and Ian Briggs, I approached the Health and Safety Executive. As a health and safety professional, I went, ooh, corporate manslaughter. I can look at corporate manslaughter because Gavin took his own life, and we've got evidence to show that Gavin was mistreated. They didn't work to their client's charter. And their client's charter, their procedures, is the way they will deal with their clients. However, we've shown that the fictitious arrears and the way the call handlers dealt with Gavin actually triggered his emotions, along with his workplace. So, nobody gave him a duty of care. Nobody gave him the duty of care to ensure that his health and safety weren't compromised. And he was. Took his own life. So I thought, corporate manslaughter. I can look at this. Let's go to the HSE. I went to the head of the Health and Safety Executive. Do you know what they said to me? We're not interested. We can't do an investigation, this government. So who do we owe?
Also denied that, you know, the CMS was in any way culpable or involved.
When it comes to the Child Maintenance Service, they are completely unaccountable. Yeah. They are totally and completely a law to themselves. We keep saying no one is above the law, but they are above the law.
They're not above the law. It's just that the government have been ignoring it and ignoring what they're doing.
Craig,
not holding them to account.
Craig, let's just put it this way. Civil servants, members of the government, are above the law. And I'm telling you now, you've only got to see what's going on with how much money's been spent in COVID at this moment in time. You've only got to see on the scams that are going on. My father just come back from Serbia. He's exempt. He's actually spent £375. He's had four COVID tests in a week. Every one of them's come back negative. He went yesterday to NHS, got a PCR test. They actually turned around. They said, "Oh, forget that PCR test because we've actually sent you two others. We don't accept that one." And the old man done one this morning. He went exactly the same as the one I done yesterday, Clive, and I got negative on that yesterday. Mate, we're in a toxic environment where the government and government officials and civil servants, seniors, are above the law. You've only got to look at what Dominic Cummings and other people are saying. And I know what you're going to say about common law. Common law is made by judges and it's passed down. However, common law, mate, everybody's got to unite and come together. It's only one way it's all going to work. You've either got to fight the system inside the system, what Noel's tried to do, or people need to come together. But people will not override this.
Well, I also believe in holding people who are accountable
to account.
You know,
yes,
to account. And the people who actually engage in the crime and the injustice should be held to account.
Definitely.
You know, should be exposed. And it seems like this is what you guys are doing, and you're doing a brilliant job. But, and you know, you've done a lot of letter writing, it sounds like, a lot of emails, and you've copied everybody in. So everybody knows. So nobody can say, nobody in government, nobody, you know, in the secretary, the Home Office, the Secretary of State, nobody can say they didn't know.
Sorry, guys. I just want to stop you there because I've got to jump onto another conference call with the army in literally 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I actually got in front. I'm going to put it on the record. The only person who has stood strong throughout all of this, a government official, is my MP.
Wonderful. So there's one positive person here. Who is it?
He has tried. He has tried everything he can. It's Sir Mike Penning, and he has tried everything he possibly can. He's had doors closed in his face. He got me in front of Johnny Mercer, who was the Veterans Minister, who we don't have a good word to say about Johnny Mercer, and I have my own thoughts about Johnny Mercer. He, when I told him what was going on with my case, he sat back in his chair as arrogant. He is the most arrogant man I've ever met. And he put his hands behind his head and he shrugged his shoulders and he said, we've all got our own battles. So, and he is a veterans minister. And that's what he said to me. But to sum this up very, very quickly, because I've got to shoot. To sum this up very, very, very quick, we all know that the big corporations are behind this, that they're all making money. We will find the proof one day that these corporations are buying these contracts from government officials like Secretary of State and just being given all of these powers. A lot more people now are actually starting to realise that Serco are running Department of Work and Pensions. The information's all out there because we're getting it out there. So people now are starting to do their own research.
And I think you've gotten to the heart of the problem here. It's those contracts with the wrong parties that's, at the crux of this problem here. And perhaps those contracts need to be ended. And, you're exposing what a bad job they're doing.
Rupert Soames has so much British blood on his hands. And Rupert Soames is the CEO of Serco. Yeah. But when you actually start looking into things, that Philip Dunn, who's an MP, who was the health minister who awarded Rupert Soames the £414 million test and trace contract that the military was doing. Philip Dunn, Rupert Soames is his brother-in-law.
But also, Philip Dunn was actually a director in Serco.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a director in Serco, but more importantly, his brother-in-law is Rupert Soames. I mean, the corruption is absolutely endless.
Let's have a look at the construction. Let's have a look at the corruption at the moment. Now, I'm going to give you a quick version, in my opinion. 1981, Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher come together. All right. All of a sudden, they've created this Western world. All right. We've got MPs now that... MPs stand for, is it 5 years they stand for, Noel, or four over you? Five, innit? We stand for
5 years. No, hang
on. Five years.
Yeah.
Right. MPs stand for 5 years in this country. In 1981, Margaret Thatcher made a lot of changes, started doing a lot of things. Privatization come in. There was a lot of things happening. By the time they got to Tony Blair, there's one agenda. Every one of the prime ministers go to Davos. Davos is a place where all the corporates come together. And they all sit down in Davos and they all discuss the way forward for the world, the way forward for them. All right. And the only people today, what's going on in the UK? The UK governments, the local governments, are running out of money. What they're trying to do is create corporates. So they're trying to, the corporates are taking over, and they're actually civil servants. People go into power, and when you got Johnny Mercer and you got all these MPs speaking out, and they're saying, Johnny Mercer, although we've had a go at him, he was a Veterans Affairs Minister for the Office of Veterans Affairs, and he was put in as a captain to help veterans. It took him 2 years to get a meeting with the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister didn't speak to him for 2 years. The Office of Veterans Affairs, and he actually admitted, and we all knew he was having problems, but what people don't realise is they're just puppets. The MPs are puppets. We vote them in, and they're just puppets. The Institute is so big and is so old that these civil servants flutter from jobs to jobs, and they get big jobs.
Clive.
That's where it is.
Sorry, but can I just stop you there? I've got to jump on this conference call.
Yeah, go on.
You cover all of this with Clive. Listen, Ramona, I hope we got the point across. I hope all your listeners...
I think you did, yes.
Yeah, I hope all your listeners really understand about what is going on here in the UK. And I hope that I've really emphasised the point as to how desperately bad fathers are treated here in this country. And the whole world needs to understand that the corporations, which Clive is going to go into, are just making tens of millions, if not billions, out of all of our misery.
Billions.
Yeah, well, thank you, Noel, so much for spending the time and telling us your story and, you know, helping people understand what's going on. We can only wish you the very best and hope that there's some recourse. I was going to ask, you know, what recourse do you have right now? What is the way forward? And perhaps Clive and Craig can address that before, you know, we close the show. But thank you for all of the information you've shared with us.
Thank you so much, guys. I'll speak to you soon, Clive, and I'll speak to you soon, Craig. Thank you, guys. Love you. Thank you.
Bye.
So at the moment, Ramola, where we are with Noel is Noel's going to continue to battle. Noel's going to continue to fight and raise it and raise the concerns. Where do we go with regards to corporations? What you've got to understand is that...
Well, these particular corporations are not working, right? Well, I mean, the CMS is a corporation. CSA is a corporation. They're not working.
The governments are... They've got corporations running everywhere. The mental health systems are not working. I've got somebody who is actually... I'd love him to come on your show and talk, but he's a bit of a hand grenade. He's brilliant. But he says it as it is. He doesn't mess about. And they tried to section him because he spoke out. And they tried to section him under the Mental Health Act. Davey's absolutely amazing.
We spoke about this the other day,
and that's a whole subject in itself. Yeah, using the Mental Health Act to section people, that's mental health fraud.
So we it is. You know, Davey is, I tell you what, I've got a lot of time for him. He's like my brother.
He's a cracking bloke.
And what they done to him was really, we do a podcast now like Derek and Clive, where it's obscene actually, some of it we do. But where we are today is we got a financial, what people don't realise what's going on in the background, there's a financial war going on. And we're in a digital age at the moment, all right? We've got cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies is an unregulated market, making a lot of money for a lot of investment companies, a lot of big companies making a lot of money. However, the US dollar, 1944, that came into power. That was voted in, and you've got the Chinese and the Russians now, and they are looking at bringing their in digital currency in. There's a lot of currency... There's a lot of war going on about currencies at the moment. And that's all it is. They're power shedding, they're power fighting, and COVID and everything in front of us. Yeah, I believe in COVID. People are dying. However, the bigger picture, the world is changing.
People aren't dying of COVID, Clive. They're dying of other things. Yeah. They're being misdiagnosed as having COVID.
Dying of cancer and the label COVID.
Look at all the cancer cases. But
people are dying of the vaccine, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, Ramola, what I'm saying is that's just a front. That's just a front to try and keep people distracted, because what's going on in the background and how much money is
massive theft.
It's huge. You know, how many, we look at the bank, I'd love to see when somebody finally gets the balls to come out with all the accounts that are in Panama and all offshore. I tell you what, people would be shocked. Why would you want so much money? There's only so much you can do with it.
We're dealing with sort of dyed-in-the-wool entrenched criminals over here.
You know. And it's, you know, everybody goes as a go at Putin. But I'm going to tell you one thing. All right? Putin. He's the only world leader who's got the balls to stand up and say, come on, then have a go. And he actually says it as it is. They don't like it. They don't like it. So there's a lot of things going on in the Middle East. There's a lot of things going on all over the world. And
So what is the way forward for this situation, do you think? Just keep fighting and, you know, keep on trying to bring it to...
Well, I would say the French got it right in 1789.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, right?
When it comes down to it, you've got to, yeah. But where we are at the moment, we've still got, look, we've still got a lot of things going on in the background rumbling. That some of it we can't talk about. But we are going to share it tonight because, look, we've got an opportunity. We've got Ian Briggs has got an opportunity to take this and go forward. But he can't do it with, he needs the financial backing now to actually expose. We've got some good people behind us to expose the bullshit. What's going on? What are the corruption doing? The
corruption. Yeah, good. Wonderful. And I was also going to suggest maybe find some allies in the police and in the courts, if at all possible, but definitely with the police. You know?
We've got some good people behind us, but where we are at the moment is we've got an opportunity, but we need to bring it. We've got a couple of cases we'd love to bring to a high court justice and really get it in the media, get it out there. But we need backing. We need help. We need financial assistance for these individuals to take their cases to court.
And these cases would be beneficial for everybody else as well.
For everybody. Because these cases... I've got the evidence. And I mean, you've got evidence of fictitious arrears, of lies, of how people have been driven to their own, take their own life. But we don't just need the financial support. What we need for these individuals, it's not for us, it's for the individuals going through it, is we need, and it's to pay their legal teams. But we also need to get people to back us, people to support us, and people to raise their voices and continue to raise their voices. Because only when people continue to raise their voices and we come together, we unite, and we parliament. I'm going to say something. I shouldn't say it because I'll have a knock on the door in the next couple of days, probably. I would have loved to be in Parliament Square on the weekend. I couldn't because I was with my father picking him up off the plane. And I would love to have arranged with the veterans and the people protesting, because let me tell you now, we could have stormed Parliament on the weekend. We could have actually stayed. Parliament, I would have turned into my house with all the protesters. And we should have sat in there.
And he's knocking down, mate. It's a brothel. Parliament is nothing but a brothel.
What people have got to understand is we need to be persistent and consistent. And the only time they're going to listen to us is when we bring them to their knees. I'm sorry, but, you know, and that's...
There's a simple way to do it if you had the backing of the media, and of course that's unfortunate right now.
Media's blacked out, man.
Yeah, media's blacked out because the media could hold these guys, accountable, and they don't.
Of course,
yes.
Exactly.
There's a lady's birthday today. All right. She's no longer with us. All right.
Oh, sorry.
She was horrifically murdered. And it's her birthday today. And do you know the saddest thing is? She'd still be here if the Ministry of Defence listened to her when she said she was raped in Canada. If they listened to her, she'd still be here today.
Instead,
they washed it under the carpet. Something's happening at the moment, and they're now looking into it, the allegations, but they don't want to. But I've been asked to give statements because I know, and I've done a lot of work with the lady.
That's excellent.
Do you know what breaks my heart today? She's still beautiful. She'll be 40 today.
Oh, she'd be so here.
You know, and yeah. I've got a corrupt We've got grandfathers. We've got great grandfathers who went to World War One, World War Two, and they fought for our nation. They fought for our freedoms. And today we get people. We're just as bad as the. We got a government who are probably more savvy. Because what they don't do the genocide today. They use mental manipulation. They use money. They use everything to, and they're taking people's freedoms away from them. So we've got people who fought for freedom. They'd be turning in their graves today. Because of where we are today. I joined up to serve. I was willing to give my life, and I know a lot of other people were. But the way people are being treated today,
it's absolutely dreadful. I mean, it's veterans, but it's also everybody else.
It's
well.
Everybody.
Everyone
it's,
is
being targeted. This ain't just
even our armed forces, as you saw, as you watched the other week there with Steve, that guy, you know, who's working with the American Air Force.
Yeah.
You know, he's part of
it. Oh, yeah, from our last conversation. Yes, yeah.
Incredible
story. Oh.
Yeah, he's there protecting the United Kingdom, but he's also part of Western security, and he's been hammered.
That was actually eye-opening. He reveals that he was actually working for the U.S. Air Force as well, right?
Yeah.
And was flying surveillance aircraft, etc. So that's really interesting. So there are very close ties between the U.S. and the U.K.
It is.
Absolutely.
In terms of the military, right?
But Ramona is... I've got no answer at this moment in time. And the MPs... None of the MPs have got the balls to stand up and say, right, we need to all come together. The MPs know what's going on.
No, the governments are not working. The MPs are not working. Over here, the senators are not working. Congress is not working. The governments are most definitely not working. And, I think what you had said earlier about how these governments are being run by corporations is absolutely correct, because that really is the case, isn't it?
And MPs are getting backhanded as they've been given contracts. That's what this is all. But some way down the line.
I tell you what, Roma.
And we got money.
I could change the world with the right people. Do you know why?
Exactly. All of us
I sat down and I created a blockchain. I don't know if you know about cryptocurrency. Santosh Nakamoto.
Very vaguely.
All right. Santosh Nakamoto created the blockchain, and it was for digital currency. Stop double spending. But he put it out on the World Wide Web, and it was supposed to be developed even further. And he put it out in 2008 to 2009. It was supposed to be developed further. And it was to bring freedom, trust. It was to bring people money back into people's hands, take it away from the corporate.
Clive, it's absolutely those kinds of ventures that we need. I mean, I don't know if you've heard of Dolores Cahill's, World Freedom Alliance, and now they've got their Freedom Airways as well.
Yeah. Well,
so, there are many people bringing up all of these different kinds of freedom ventures.
I'm going to say something to you.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in Africa in 2013. I was fortunate to have a very close gentleman who was like a father to me from Israel, taught me about banking, taught me about diamonds, gold, and how to bank guarantees, how to SBLCs, how they all worked, and how we would make it, how we manipulated them, and how we used them. All right. So I was doing a lot of that in the background with him, worked for some influential people. And I created off this, he said to me, look at the Bitcoin. Do we invest in Bitcoin? I went, no, don't invest in Bitcoin. And he probably would have shot me after what's happened with Bitcoin. But I actually said, we do not invest in any cryptocurrencies because none of them are a currency. And I'd done my studying and done everything. And I didn't know where it came from. It weren't me. It was the universe because I weren't that intelligent. So I developed this architecture of bringing in a new currency, which is gold-backed and silver-backed. And there's 74 of them in the world today. And they've all got it wrong. And they're missing something special. And that's what we need. The only reason I've sat on it is because I've sat in front of the bankers on Techstar weekend startups and bankers have turned around. When I've said what I've got, they've gone, no, no, we're not touching it. And do you know why they said they wouldn't touch it? Because we went to war in Iraq because Saddam Hussein was going to trade his oil for euros. I can tell you a lot about Iraq. I can tell you a lot about the Middle East because I used to work for influential families out there doing different dirty things. Gaddafi.
Oh, you should do a whistleblowing conversation just on that.
We'll steady on that. But Gaddafi, the reason Gaddafi was taken out was because he was going to trade his oil for Kugaran. He was going to go for Kugaran and he wanted to bring African nations together. That's why he got taken out, because he would have actually disturbed anybody who going to imbalance the US dollar. That's it.
The he people was stepping who out of that paradigm, right? He was
exactly.
breaking out of
and it. And I've sat on it for 8 years, but I'll tell you now, I'll sit on it for a few months longer because the Chinese are on their way. The Chinese are bringing a cryptocurrency in and they're actually doing the Chinese and Russian have been like this now for six
years. Yeah, but
seven
the, behind the Chinese and the Russian are those international bankers, right? It comes back to the shadow
structure. It comes back
structures.
To the corporations.
And the corporations, yeah.
But
so on that note, we should bring in change, but not with them. You see, this is the thing.
We should bring in our own change by people coming together and we create our own systems.
Absolutely. A one that works and that's built on, you know, principles of fairness, justice, truth for all. You
trust,
know?
Freedom,
exactly.
All right, value and security for the
medical
biggest things.
Freedom, health freedom as well.
Exactly.
You know, given what's happening, etc. So wonderful ideas, Clive. Thank you so much. And I hope you can keep pushing your ideas forward. Thanks so much, Craig, for everything today. And thanks for bringing forward Noel's story, because it was so major for everybody to hear. And we'll pick up on all of these topics another time. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And I guess we'll say goodbye for now. Any last words before we close?
Everybody. Yes. The French got it right in 1789.
Okay. Right. Something
everybody,
we could run from.
Everybody, take care. Remember, if you're feeling down, look, reach out, share, talk, and remember, come from a position of love. What can I do for you? No, what can I take? What can I do for you? Position of love. All right.
Wonderful. And Clive, did you want to give the website link again so people can come to it? And
for what?
Fundraise for Gavin Briggs and
Gavin,
for your project that you talked
Briggs
about.
Briggs in charge of that. I'm not in charge of that.
Hang on. Let me. I'll text it to you, Ramona.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I always put it below the video anyway. It's just Gavin Briggs, right?
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Hang on a second. Let me get his GoFundMe page. I'll probably message you.
No worries, because I'm having issues with sharing screen today. I'm going to have to fix that. So I'll post the link below the video, if you don't mind. So that would be, I think, just Gavin Briggs. And perhaps people can help you as you're trying to fundraise for your many projects.
Definitely.
So,
I love you. You look after yourself.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you. Love to you both. Bye, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Hang on, Ramela, before you go, I'm going to send it to you, the link.
Okay.
For
yeah, please do. Please do.
There we go. And thank you so much for this, by the way.
Oh, really, you're very
really
welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. So people may know that Michelle and I, who've been co-hosting the Saturday night panels, which used to be weekly back in the fall of 2020, but are sort of occasional at this point in time, are doing promotion of the Root brand product Clean Slate, which Michelle is quite familiar with and which I recently learned about. It is a detoxification and cleansing product. And, you know, we are hoping to present it as a solution for humanity on our panels, where people from every walk of life come together to discuss current affairs and expose crime and corruption and fraud. And these Root brand products, Clean Slate and Zero In and Restore, I understand are wonderful solutions to help people regain vibrance, positivity, good health, and make great strides forward in their lives. So, we're doing a little promo pulled out from our news panel 21. Michelle, I know, has been using this product for a little while, right? And has had very good experience.
Well, I have to say, Romola, I've been taking supplements since I was 13, and I have never had anything like this. I'm so much more productive. My energy levels are so high. I feel very positive. My two dogs, who are getting very old, they're both on it. I've noticed the difference in their energy. And they, you know, one of them has bad back legs. She's walking a lot better. So it's been amazing for me and for my two dogs. Incredible.
Concepts are based on what nature has provided us and what nature created initially. And so we use a little very well established, very known crystal called clinoptilolite, which is a class of zeolite, which biochemically is like a little negatively charged honeycomb structure that's been used for millennia. Volcanoes created this amazing crystal to clean up the environment. The Romans used it to clean up their water supply. We learned as of last year, actually, that the Mayans 4,000 or 5,000 years ago were actually doing the same thing that the Romans were doing. But there was no communication between those two that we knew of. As you mentioned, kind of nanotechnology and science, being able to take and create a process that takes this honeycomb and breaks it apart into smaller fragments, smaller cages of a broad range of size, add some essential trace minerals to it, add some ascorbic acid to improve permeability inside the body, you know, the way that the body can use these and the way they can flow. And then we have a special process to polarize that natural negative charge that creates this amazing little superstructure that you can think of being like a little green garbage truck, that when you take it, it sends in its little crew, it grabs onto all the bad stuff they can, and then they get flushed out. While these little crystal fragments are grabbing onto things, they're also communicating with the rest of the body to let your body know what it is made to do as well, which is heal, detoxify, be amazing. And one of the most crucial components that this has been proven to do over a lot of time is probably the most important thing that we need in humanity today. And that is decalcification of the pineal gland, because the light center of the brain, right? Our spiritual center of our brain has been calcified for many, 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 many years. Right? The use of fluoride in water and in many other areas calcifies your pineal gland, which keeps your body from creating melatonin. It keeps us from having a proper circadian rhythm. But most importantly, it blocks our ability to process light. And at our core, if you look at cells of a human body at a quantum level, or at the deepest level you can get, we are light.
I agree with you. I don't, I don't read everything about the vaccine. I get sent so many videos, I don't watch them because I feel it's bringing down my vibration. And I'm on a really high at the moment, ever since I've been taking the Root products. I am just completely different. And I'm not going to let any negativity stop me. If people want to choose to have the vaccine, that's their choice. It's entirely their choice. I will point them in the right direction. I'll tell them what I think, but I don't get involved in arguments, because just as I tell people when they phone me up and say, oh, my mum's going to have the vaccine, I don't know what to do, I'm really upset. And I say to them, well, you have to respect the fact that she wants it. And you also have to understand that maybe she's worried about you not having it. But all you can do is do your best and look after yourself and, you know, give them some advice and get them on some Clean Slate. get them to start detoxing their bodies and look after themselves. But I just think I'm not into all of this negativity.
Gotta hit it from multiple approaches. And that's what these are designed to do, is to work synergistically together to line up everything and put us in a much better position to function at a level, honestly, that most people never imagined was possible.
I'd just like to say, since taking these products, I started on Clean Slate in April last year, so 2020. My life is completely unrecognizable now since being on these products, because what they do, they actually unlock you, you know, through the decalcification of the pineal gland, through what they do to the aura and the chakras and stuff. And, you know, last year was particularly tough for me personally, because we lost Mum very suddenly in January last year. And then, you know, obviously the whole global BS that we're all going through. But what we're talking about, trauma and PTSD, I don't know where I would be without these products. I really don't, because they've, in fact, I feel stronger mentally and physically and spiritually than ever before. You know, I feel I'm really connected to, you know, to source or God now. And yeah, and it's a big part is thanks to these products. So yeah, they're phenomenal. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. Really, really am grateful.
That's pretty amazing. So you're saying you've experienced all sorts of massive openings up and
feel
more vibrant, more energetic.
Yeah, totally.
And you can buy Clean Slate or Zero In or Restore and support our work if you click on the link below the video or use the link that's posted right here at everydayconcern.net. This is Report 231, which reports on our conversation with Dr. Marina Kauriu. The link is on this page. It's right here. www.throotbrands.com/mikmah. And that's the discount code that supports our work and Dr. Marina's work. You can also find that code if you click on the image, the green image over here, the root image, and click open link in your tab and you will find it right there. So this is the Root Brand page and the discount will be automatically applied. The URL you clicked on doesn't really stay, but the code is recorded. So hope you give it a try.